Hey, 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 it's the C64 Takeaway, episode 47 for December 2009. Commodore 64 remixes and original SID sounds to go. If you're tuning in for the first time, this is an irregularly scheduled music podcast where some people would maybe call it a Twitter feed with occasional sound. featuring tunes from or inspired by the Commodore 64 home computer, if I didn't mention that already. I'm one of your hosts, Jan Lund Thompson, and directly across from me...
Hey, then. I'm Marcus Mackinilsson. Thank you very much, and now I got all snotty just because I was going to start speaking. It's a cold day in Malmö where this is being recorded today.
Yeah, it is indeed, and didn't help that the train over here was quite delayed, to say the least. Don't know if it has anything to do with that Copenhagen thing. I don't know.
No idea, but there's been a lot of track work here in Alma, so yeah. Might be that. Opening up the show was 8-Bit Weapon and Computer with Jingle Bells from their newly released It's a Chiptune Holiday album.
Which, in a brilliant piece of marketing, Seth Sternberger, 8-Bit Weapon, sent me a link. Well, sent his Twitter network, again with a Twitter, link saying, like, does anyone want a free copy of this album? And now we have just played a track from it.
Yeah.
And it's got, I can't remember, eight...
Yeah, I think something like eight or nine tracks.
Tracks. And it's all Commodore 64-y, Christmassy stuff.
It's going to go warm on my stereo this Christmas, I can tell you that.
We should... I don't think we've got that sorted out in the news. We should just mention that this is a physical album done in the usual style where Seth molests a poor floppy disk. But this time, keeping in the spirit of Christmas, he's gone and gotten himself a batch of, I think, either white or grey discs.
It's brilliant packaging when Seth's... Yeah. Doing things.
It's very bad radio to nod. People can't see it.
Yeah, sorry.
As you can tell people, this is the usual cupful of banter, I think, is back. So Robinson Mason should be well happy with that.
Yeah.
Anyway, getting back on track, coming up later on, we've got the usual bit of news and listener feedback. And once again, a trip back in time to the early days of Commodore 64 remixing with the classic remix. And you get to figure out a new jingle for it.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to try and...
There's kind of a theme to the tunes today, actually. We didn't mean to. We're not really going to talk about what it is now.
It's not Christmas.
It's actually not Christmas, no. It's going to be something else, but it's going to be all wrapped up in a nice Christmassy wrapping. We've already had one Christmas tune. And if you've been listening for a number of years, you know that we can't put out a podcast before Christmas without playing a certain other Christmas tune.
Which shall be revealed.
Revealed.
Relieved. The remix is going to urinate in my flower pots. It's going to relieve itself later.
Right. So for now, let's play another tune.
Yeah. What's up?
We've got a SID coming up it was something you picked actually, by Fanta.
Oh, yes! Fine-tuning,
yeah, by Fanta, also known as Alexander
Roch.
Why don't people ever have normal names?
It's
as if they're mocking us from afar or something, going like, you can't pronounce this.
Is Fanta Polak or something? Alexander Rodz. I had no idea how to pronounce this.
No, me neither. We'll be right back.
That was Alexander
Lord
something or other, also known as Fanta with fine tuning.
Yep, a lot more easier to pronounce Fanta than the other thing.
Yeah,
I think this one was one we came across on the Daily Set thing.
Yeah.
DailySet.tumblr.com.
Or just Google for Daily Set.
Google
Is he
Daily
back
Set.
From his...
He was taking a break at one point, and then he posted something about, oh, well, he's back. I'm going to be back later. And then he came back, and then he said something about moving country.
Okay.
So but, I'm still tuned into the RSS thing and the Twitter thing, because he posts some links to some really great sets up there.
Excellent.
Yeah. And what say you, we start the news.
The news section.
We have a, like last time, we have a quite a bit. So we might rant, go on a rant at some point or another, but we're going to make up for it with lots of music later on. First up, from our own backyard, RKO, remixquad.org, turned 9 years old on November 23rd.
Yay! Nine!
Yeah.
Next year we need to throw a party or something.
I actually forgot about it. And someone wrote me on Messenger or something saying, oh, congratulations on 9 years. And I'm like, what? Oh, hang on. November 23rd. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Maybe a party next year. In other news,
The Soask.
Stone Oak Valley's authentic Sick collection.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
You've got it nailed, huh? Well, they've got an improved search engine now and a massive bandwidth upgrade. As far as I can tell, it's all thanks to Dortafreningen at Lund's Technical Institute.
Yep. Which is, for non-Scandinavians out there, something computing.
Dortafreningen, it means the computer society, I think.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I think they hosted Triad MP3s as well back in the day.
Yeah, because Kingfisher used to work for Lund's Technical Institute at some point. And so, yes, they did. They have a history of hosting Commodore 64-related stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the search engine, as far as I remember it, for Soask was okay before. But the problem is that if you wanted to download something, it was like, completely slow. And now it's just like I can max my 10 megabit at home on download loading stuff from it. So great stuff, great source for MP3 recordings of Commodore 64 sits, and actually where we get all our sits. Because neither of us have our Commodore 64 set up, but luckily
I actually have a hard sit for you. With two.
You have a hard set for me. Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah. So I can actually play a real set. The only problem with it is that the filters aren't quite there.
Ah. So. But that's probably you with the...
If I was more of a...
chip thing.
If I was more of an electronics whiz, I would be able to switch them myself.
But. Ah, okay. Fair enough. And also, while they were at it, they went and... added a streaming radio station called Como Radio, which is chiptunes from Soask and Soamsk, which is the Stone Oak Valley Stone Oak Valley's Amiga module collection.
Also recorded from proper hardware, I think.
Using a similar hardware setup. And it's like no frills radio station, like no playlist, no voting, no nothing. Just tune in and get the tracks if you can actually access it through your corporate firewall. I can't. Then again, actually, I can't actually access the Stone Oak Valley SIP collection search engine either.
What?
Is you running in on port 40,000 or something.
Weird.
Yeah. Oh well. Oh
in
well.
Other news.
In other news.
Go on.
There's been a recording of a Commodore 64 related recording, a release of a Commodore 64 related album called Poke 20. It's sort of the follow-up to Run 10, I think it was called, by the Commodore 64 Orchestra. Only this one wasn't done by them. It was done with their blessing, so to speak. It's 20 or 21 remixes, 21 different remixes of Monty on the Run. With a dubious license to boot, actually.
Yeah.
So that's why we're not going to play anything about it. Briefly said, the thing is that the Commodore 64 Orchestra passed the permission to use their version of Monty on the Run for the remixes. Then the Pope 20 guys did these 21 remixes. Nothing wrong so far. And then they released the 21 remixes under a Creative Commons license, and saying that they wanted attribution. But the thing is, you can't release something that's copyrighted, which was the original said by Rob Hubbard, as Creative Commons, because Rob Hubbard didn't release that one. So the Commodore 64 Orchestra couldn't give the permission away because it wasn't theirs to give away in the first place.
So, yeah, it's a little bit of a mess there.
It's a little bit of a mess, and the Pope 20 guys were made aware of this, and they were like, oh, well, we got our permission in order. And the weird thing is, one of our listeners, Pete Brown on Twitter, directed my attention to the info sheet for the album, doesn't mention Rob Hubbard at all.
Hmm.
Which is odd, seeing as... this Creative Commons license that Pope 20 is released under is the by attribution, non-commercial share alike, which means that if you go and play it somewhere on the next company party or, I don't know, play it anywhere, you need to give out attribution. So you need to say that this was done by the Pope 20 team. But they don't give attribution out to Rob Hubbard.
Yeah,
let's not talk any more about that, and instead talk about some other music. There's been an interview posted with the composer of Future Shock and other Commodore 64 and Nintendo tracks, actually. And this guy is called Neil Baldwin, also known as Demon, and that was a link I got from Pete McCarthy, also on Twitter. And I think we've mentioned this before, but I spent a huge part of my youth rocking out to Future Shock and Metal Bar 2 to those sets as the demos played on my Commodore 64. Stunning, stunning music by Demon.
Mm.
And yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of albums, as we did just now.
Yeah.
There's been an album released by Necropolo.
A proper album. Yeah.
called... I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but Rockbit.
Yeah, I'm not actually Rockbit. Sure it's Necropolo or Necropolo or...
Yeah.
Necropolo,
he's so far only released two tracks on RKO.
Yeah, both this year, actually.
Yeah, and then from the blue, there's an entire album.
Yeah.
So,
I got the message one morning. I saw it on Remix 64, I think. And I was thinking... What's this album then? And then I thought Necropolo, that sort of rang a bell, and that was because I'd heard his RoboCop in-game remix, the Rob Spotter remix that actually coincidentally got released on November 23rd as well, and I heard that one, and like a few seconds in, I just thought, oh, this is different. This is really and stuff. And then one morning, 2 weeks later, out of the blue, this album arrives. I was just, and again, brilliant marketing, because I just went to the shop, threw it in the basket, didn't even listen to it, paid the £4.50 for the download. It's only in downloadable form, and you can choose between MP3 and FLAC in 44.1 kilohertz and FLAC in 48 kilohertz, and just bought it, and it's brilliant. And
where did you get it from?
C64audio.com.
Brilliant there.
Yeah, we might play a track from it later on. We haven't quite decided yet. We're going to play his Rob Spotter RoboCop thing, though.
Should we play it now? Take a news break and play it.
Take a little break and play RoboCop?
Yeah, let's do that.
Oh, I forgot to mention, this entire album is done in a prog rock style. Which is very, very different from your normal Commodore 64, well, dance, techno-ish style.
I'd say the only one who come close to it would be Rhein.
On Blythe?
Yeah,
or
although it's not very proggy,
ones.
But
yeah,
kind of.
Let's take a break now and play Necropolo's Rob Spotter remix of RoboCop. And yeah, keep an ear out. What do you say for the Rob Hubbard influence somewhere in there? Because RoboCop isn't a Rob Hubbard track;
it's a Jeroen Tel track.
Yeah,
yeah.
Here it is.
Necropollo, maybe, if it's Spanish.
Actually, he's from Hungary, so I don't think so.
Ah, well, Necropollo then.
Yes.
RoboCop being Rob Spotter mix.
Yep. Did you spot the Rob reference?
Oh, yes,
then?
Very much so. There was a slight sanction.
There was, yeah.
Thingy.
The first time I heard it, I was like, hang on, needing to do a double take and rewind. And went, ah, yeah, that was it, what I heard. More news.
More news. Sad news, actually.
Oh, yeah, actually.
Armin
yeah.
Gessert, man, one of the men behind the great Gianna sisters, died on November 8th
yep.
of a heart attack.
Yeah.
So, turn off your Commodore 64 for 2 minutes of silence.
Yeah.
Not
if
right
you,
now.
If you didn't do it then, but yeah.
Yeah.
In slightly more cheery news then. Oh, hang on. Didn't he... He worked on Hard and Heavy as well. The Gianna Sisters sequel.
Yeah,
thing.
Probably.
Yeah. But yeah, quite sudden actually. So...
move on.
Yeah. Bit of cheerful news. Diana Sisters is coming to the iPhone.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, and it looks like it's the same remake that they've done on the Nintendo DS, which was actually quite good.
I haven't checked it out.
Moving on. Again, from our own backyard, actually.
Yeah.
I got an email the other day saying that the C64 Takeaway had been nominated for a European Podcast Award.
Ooh.
Whatever that is.
Never heard of it. But
Me neither. But you people out there, help us rock the vote. There'll be a link where you can vote on this European Podcast Award thing. I think the deadline is quite lenient. It's sometime in March or so. So we'll.
I don't know what it is, but I hope I win it.
Yeah. What's the prize? Does it come with a prize? A soft cuddly toy or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't have a Commodore 64 Takeaway news segment without mentioning some sort of cartridge for the Commodore 64. Normally they make sounds, but this one doesn't.
Nah.
But it does a hell of a lot of
things. There's a lot of stuff on it.
What is it and what does it do?
Well, it's got, among other things, a 1541 emulator, which you can just shove SD cards into and load stuff from that.
Ooh, so no more juggling flubbies.
No, exactly.
Ooh.
And there's a VGA output and retro replay compatible freezer. I'm not sure what that means.
There was this thing called the Action Replay cartridge.
Oh, yes. I have.
And then there was this hobbyist guy whose name eludes me for the moment, who did his version of that one. And it was called the Retro Replay.
Okay.
And he released a cartridge or the schematics for the cartridge, so you could build one yourself. And then someone released it commercially as well. But that's in there as well. And the 1541 emulation, like, oh, I've talked about that before, like just having a big SD card and loading the entire high volume SID collection on that one.
And there's also, you can also put a PS2 mouse on there, and there's a bunch of ports on the cartridge
that
lets you use all sorts of hardware. Oh, and Ethernet connection on it.
Didn't they skip that one? Oh, I can't remember.
Well, it said they're on there, but I couldn't see any ports for a cable.
Because they used to do a cartridge where you could put an extra retro net or something. I can't remember what it was called.
No idea.
Slacking on the preparation here. let's move on to something we do know how to talk about. The Commodore 64 app on the iPhone.
Oh, yes. At great lengths. We know.
Yeah. Thing is that we mentioned last time that it came and went.
And it seems like it's the second coming.
It's the second coming. It came back on the iTunes store, and this time I bought a copy. Thing is, I haven't
you
got...
I don't
have an iPhone.
Your wife does.
Yeah, I thought it would be a motivation thing to get me an iPhone, but then I didn't. And then my wife bought one. But the thing is that I bought the Commodore 64 app on my account, so I can't just install it on her iPhone.
Aww.
So I'm actually thinking, I was thinking on the way over here on the train, I was thinking, oh, well, it's only 30 krona, I could buy a second copy. I'm sure if Manomimo are listening, they'd go, yes, buy a second copy. and install that one on her iPhone, because she got an iPhone now. And unfortunately, I couldn't borrow it and bring it along because I got to take up a bit of hard drive space on it, or flash drive space or whatever, storage space, and install the SID player. And it actually sounds quite good.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it uses the 3G connection, so you can just punch up a SID by, Phanta or Demon. So, I want to listen to Future Shock, which was actually the first thing I punched up. And it just loads it. And since it's only a couple of kilobytes,
it's not exactly expensive. No.
Nope. And that's great. And I bought it because the last time I was thinking about buying it, and the Commodore 64 app, and then they yanked it offline. So I was thinking, I'm not having that again. So now it's sitting on my hard drive, in case I ever buy an iPhone.
Awaiting hardware.
Yeah, or an iPod Touch, because will run it as well. And they've announced the first extra game pack, which was would be Wizball and Druid and Druid 2, and they announced that even more stuff would be coming along, like the Paradroid and Bruce Lee and Uridium and Cybernoid and Alicat and Stormlord and Kickstart. And talking about proper licensing, as opposed to the Pope 20 album we mentioned earlier on, Manomio's application is actually based on the Frodo emulator, which is open source. But they did get their permissions probably sorted out beforehand.
That's how you do it.
That's how you do it. And if you're one of the DIY or slightly, well, I wouldn't say anarchistic, if you've got an anarchistic bent, but if you've got an iPhone or an iPod Touch that's been jailbroken, that you can install software on yourself, there's a guy called DNA64 who's done an extra game pack that will let you play 8 additional games on the C64 app. And I actually talked to the guy and said, dude, Laser Squad.
Oh, but, yes.
But then I was reading on the Wikipedia page on Laser Squad, and somehow I got to the discussion page for it. Can't remember why, really. And someone mentioned that an email from Julian Gollop, who did the game back in the day, saying that my old games are all public domain. And so I talked to Manomio, got in touch with Manomio and said, Laser Squad. And what happened was that they're actually going to bring it now to the C64 application.
Excellent stuff.
Yeah, I hope it's playable on the iPhone or Touch. I mean, it's turn-based.
Shouldn't be a problem.
It shouldn't be a problem, but it's doesn't have an undo button or anything. So if you move your squad member in the wrong direction, it's just tough luck. But then again, that's how it was on the Commodore 64 when you were playing it there. So I'm happy. So and social guerrilla networking
apparently pays off.
Yeah.
Should we do more music now?
We should. Yeah, we've run out of news. We've run out of news. What are we going to play now? Shuffle our notes. We haven't got our playlist quite in order yet.
Nah, how about Mother Plunkin' Bee, Deflector?
Ah, yeah. That fits in the overall theme here of this show. Mother Plunkin' Bee, Deflector. We'll be right back.
Vincenzo with Incompleto.
Vincenzo, ciao Vincenzo.
Yeah, and before that, Mother Plunking Bee, Deflector, Deflections of My Life.
Yeah, and if you like the Mother Plunking Bee style, he's done a couple of other Commodore 64 remixes, but he's also put out an album. I think he's... No, I haven't done the research properly here. I'm just winging it, sort of thinking back. Was that he did an album you could get for free, and then you could get a premium model that you paid like not a lot for, and it had some extra tracks. And it's got a lot of Nintendo Entertainment System, or NES. You've got a NES in the...
I've got a NES somewhere. I think it's actually in the attic, because I need to change the connector on it.
Yeah. But yeah.
What's your feedback?
Feedback.
You received some
email. I got an email all the way from Thailand, actually. There's a Danish guy living abroad there, Michael, who's tuning in all the way from... I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name of the city that he's living in, so I'm just going to say Thailand. And we also got some other bits. One from Leando, who said on Twitter that he just bought a copy of It's Binary Baby.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
So maybe your Christmas present should get a wee bit bigger this year.
Well, actually, I don't receive any money for that, because I told Chris Abbott, who owns the label, to just keep all the money and invest it in future Bit Live events instead.
Oh, brilliant.
So you are actually sponsoring more live events, which we all know we want badly.
Oh, yes, very badly. We love those. Also, we got another shout-out from Julie Verley, or Dirlanda, as she's mentioned, called on Twitter, saying thanks for mentioning her and her son on the podcast. Which apparently made the day at work. Yep. So apparently we didn't frighten the poor little blighters.
blood and vampires.
No, I think we dropped it wasn't an F-bomb, it was something a bomb.
Oh,
something,
yeah, it was a B-bomb.
Yeah.
I'm not going to... No. Moving on.
Moving on. We got a comment via the show website, c64takeaway.com, from Fak, saying that when he saw the show notes, he read the show notes for the last episode before actually listening to the show, and he was hoping that we would end the show with the announcement of the upcoming Monotron CD. But like he says, sadly, you were just waiting and hoping, like me. Yeah, but Monotron, go on then, Gareth. We want.
I've actually
album.
Been in contact with Gareth since last show.
Okay.
No mentioning of dates, but he wanted some vocoding tips. Okay. So he is still cooking things up. And I know now that a track that he and I did will end up on the CD as well.
Excellent.
We did a cover of New Life by Depeche Mode, which was originally for another project that fell asleep, and because apparently Gareth was the only one who did a track for it. It'll end up on the Monotron. So he told me, now you're a part of Monotron, whether you like it or not.
Oh, dear me. hopefully the album will get released. Well, I was going to say this decade, but that might actually be a bit unrealistic, seeing as this is 2009. Fak goes on to say that we talked about we're going to mention it now, the Golden Axe Christmas remix thing. I told him something about, well, it's not really a tradition. He said that if we do an episode before Christmas, we have to play the traditional Golden Axe Christmas thing. And I said, it's not a tradition. And he says, well, it is actually a tradition. You've done it... played the track twice in 4 years, and that's way more often than we have a White Christmas in Denmark. And guy's got a point. So we are
going to play it later.
Yeah.
An anonymous fan asked on the site if we would mind doing an occasional music only podcast. No current plans.
No. To do that. We need our banter. another anonymous fan asked for direct links to the tracks. Well, the track titles are all in the show notes for each episode, so you can use the search function on remixquit.org and or on Sorsk, which is 6581-8580.com to find the stuff that you want to download. But it's not like it's a huge amount of work, so we'll look into adding direct links to the individual tracks. And that actually concludes our feedback. If you guys, girls out there, have stuff to
tell us, yell at us.
We'll have the contact details at the end of the show. But for now, more music.
More music. And I think we've reached our now regular section. Classical remix. Classic remix, actually.
Yeah. So what classic remix do we have?
Oh, we have a very classic remix. Classic indeed. Special Agent 2001.
Yeah.
By none other than Jeroen Brevaert.
Who we've talked about before.
And we've quite played plenty.
Quite excited, but we're always excited about his Kinetic Subtune 2.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
But this one, we're actually quite excited about as well.
Yeah.
And we came up with a list, a short list. We're not going to mention what else was on there, but a list of nominees for the classic remix for this time. And I thought, hang on, Special Agent 2001 with all those drums and the guitar riffs, it'll fit the mood theme thing of the show.
Perfectly.
Do we need to say anything more about it, apart from the that obvious fact that it's a remix of Johannes Bjergaard's Sid? And if you haven't guessed by the title, this is all the way back from 2001.
Martin Dodd, The Running Man. And before that, this episode's classic remix by Jeroen Braybart, Special Agent 2001.
Oh, good stuff. Well, Martin Dodd's...
Not bad either.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby, but not yet a classic.
No. You need age to become a classic. That's about it.
Yeah,
we've run out of tracks. Well, we've
run out of script.
Well, that too. We can't have ourselves doing our mad ad lib.
Everyone's going. What? This is a script.
It actually has. Maybe I should take photos of it and stick it in the show notes. Yeah. But yeah, we do have a script. It's all of 4 pages today. Let's do the last tune. Before we do the last tune, we need to do the usual bits, which we promised you, and shuffling notes here, which is the practical information. Usual housekeeping stuff. The show site with notes and links to everything featured on this episode, as well as information on how you can get notified whenever a new show comes out, because, yes, it does happen from time to time. All that can be found at c64takeaway.com. That's the letter C, the number 64, takeaway, all in one word, .com. And you can also get in touch either by leaving your comments on the show website or following us on Twitter, where we're on with the username C64Takeaway, so that's twitter.com/C64Takeaway. And of course, you can also shoot us an old-fashioned email at C64Takeaway@gmail.com. What are we going to leave people with? We already spoiled it.
Yeah, well, and it's another one of those classic remixes, actually.
It is, yeah.
It's Marcus Schneider's Golden Axe Christmas Edition.
Yeah, so
always leaves you with a tingling Christmas sensation in your body.
It does indeed. So, from me, Jan Lund Thompson,
and me, Marcus Marke Nilsson,
happy holidays, whatever your religious bent might be.
Yeah, happy whatever holidays coming up.
Yeah, happy generic winter solstice thing.
Yeah,
we're going to see you next time, whenever that is.